Well, hello out there, everybody. This is Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, too, and also some guy named Jim Cummings. You're not going to believe this, but you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Good job. Keep it up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today, an actor whose work you've probably seen in films like Alita, Battle Angel, or the AMC series The Sons, or Fear the Walking Dead. Holy shit. I mean, Walking Dead, come on. Come on. We welcome actor Bill Foster to the show. Bill, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We're going to have some fun today. In our retro roundtable, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite Westerns. And I'm excited to do that because I like the genre.
I thought it was going to be a really short list for me, but then it turned into a really long list.
I told the wife about it, and she was like, oh, really? That's not fun. I'm like, you like Western? She's like, well, it's not my go-to. I'm like, it doesn't have to be.
Then you're not my audience.
Yeah. You don't listen to the show anyway.
we'll rope some in or lasso some in there, new listeners in with this retro. Then we're going to turn our full attention right over to Bill and talk more about his career. But before we do that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. If you like what we're doing, want to show a little bit of love, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. $5 a month get you on the Canned Air Patreon pod. Jack, there's a little bit more going over there now. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, starting at $5, you get the Canned Air Patreon pod and a pin.
A pin.
Yeah.
P-I-N, not P-E-N.
P-I-N.
Yeah, not a writing one. One you can actually, like, stick yourself and bleed with.
You've seen them all over the social media is what we've been posting. What's the next one? $10, I think, is after that?
Yeah.
That one is the...
Put you on the spot. There's cool shit on there. Yeah. Is what we're getting at. Nightlight, Canned Air Nightlight.
Yeah, Canned Air Nightlight. Getting to be first in line to jump into the Canned Air streams that we're doing, the game show stream.
Oh, well, there you go.
So you get the room code before the rest of the minions out there.
Right.
Which tune in every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock to play that game with Jack and I. Maybe win some additional cool stuff. And also check us out every morning 7 to 9 on Redline Radio.
Yeah, and one more thing. Boy, we just keep tacking on things at the beginning. It keeps getting longer and longer. We're going to have to work that out.
Put Bill to sleep over there.
But if you are an actor, a podcaster, somebody who just needs professional representation, give Steve Joyner a call at 816-605-4561. I think he can help you out. Steve's a really good guy, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and tell him your boys at Canned Air sent you over.
There you go. We get a free sub for every person we send over that way. So, yeah, we got to cash in on that. All right, let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable. All right, our favorite Westerns. Who wants to start us this week? Jack, why don't you kick us off?
My top of the list, I'm going to start with that one. Because it stands out so much. Tombstone.
I've never seen it.
No?
Oh, it's a good one.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
I think Bill likes Tombstone.
Yeah.
Yes. Love it. Love it. I didn't know. You know, that to me is a new Western. I thought he was going way back. But, yeah. Tombstone.
No. That's not too new. It's about, what 20 years or something?
90s, I think.
95, somewhere along.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I always quote the movie wrong. I always say I'll be your Huckleberry, but it's...
That's my dad's always go to.
Okay.
Doc Holliday in there. Val Kilmer played him.
Yeah.
That guy.
Nobody can play that part any more than Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
He killed. Nobody can be Doc Holliday except him.
What was it? There was a movie not too long after that had to do with the Earps.
It was Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
It was. 3 hours of wasted electricity.
Yeah, Tombstone told the story so much better in 2 hours. So much better.
Exactly. That is a masterpiece.
I need to add it to the list.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bill, why don't you give us your pick? Favorite Western?
Favorite movie Western would be The Searchers with John Wayne.
Oh, okay. Man. I can't think of that one in particular, but anything John Wayne, my God. I, I, he, oh, was, He's such a badass.
That was just his pinnacle to me. That and The Shootist was his two best movies. But if you go on the TV side of it, Lonesome Dove takes everything. But I don't consider it a movie. I consider it a TV series type or a mini series. So, you know, I could. It's like picking ice cream. You know, which one's best? You could.
They're all good. I understand that. And Lonesome Dove series, that was, what, in the early to mid-90s, I think?
1988.
Oh, wow. Even earlier than I remember. Okay.
Was that long ago? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely that long ago.
All I remember that is just the title. That's about all I can remember that. And I was well.
You know, I didn't see it when it first came out. I was working and was always working at night, you know, ball games and stuff, and really didn't ever see it. And when it came back out, of course, I memorized every word of it now. So.
Recite it with my eyes closed.
That's right.
That's a good pick. All right. I guess, do you mind if I go next, Randy?
Yeah, go for it.
I guess my first pick here is, like, man, I'm torn between two. Okay, this was a movie that came out in the early 90s, starring Paul Hogan, who was a Crocodile Dundee. And it had Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, called Lightning Jack.
Yes!
Wow. You ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Never saw it.
It was good. He was it was set in the time of, like, Jesse James and all that stuff. And Lightning Jack, who was Paul Hogan, like, wanted so bad to be a notorious criminal, but he just kept screwing shit up every time.
Didn't he not talk to?
That was Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cuba Gooding Jr. was kind of like a broom boy at a hardware store that was getting treated horribly, and he wanted to go off with him. So they just kept trying to rob banks and foiling it. It was funny.
So it was more of a comedy then.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely a comedy, but it was still, you know, in the West.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember the first time he gave Cuba Gooding Jr. his gun. He shot it was like a foot. Shotgun with, like, no barrel. It was like ultimate sawed off shotgun. He's like, shoot that fence. So he shoots the fence, and you just see a couple little BBs hit it, and he's like, now, if anyone that far away, you're just going to piss them off. And then he puts him in front of a barrel that was like 10 feet in front of him, disintegrated that thing. Yeah. It was hilarious.
And the reason he gave him that was because he had been trying to teach him to shoot cans, and he couldn't hit anything to save his life, so he just gave him the sawed-off shotgun.
And that kind of reverts back to the John Wayne movie. I think it's Rio Lobo, something like that, one of those Rio movies where James Caan was in it, and he couldn't shoot, so they got him that shotgun. There's a double barrel sawed off.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a gun you don't... Well, no gun you want to find yourself in front of, but, man...
If you just take out the holster.
A holster, too.
Yeah.
It's like a foot off of his side. Looks like a fanny pack. All right, Randy.
So, during the summer, my grandpa and I used to... I'd go over there and sit down, and we'd watch... some really old silent Western movies and kind of screw around and make up our own audio. So we'd watch, like, The Great Train Robbery, which was an early 20s silent movie.
Yeah.
We'd watch a lot with, like, Bronco Billy, Will Hart, Tom Minx. A lot of those, like, really early, like, pre-talkies, just, you know, good guy, bad guy. And it's kind of funny because what I found out later on was I always used to think that was, like, how the West was. Come to find out, most of those movies were made by Edison in the East Coast, so it was like a depiction of what they thought the West was.
Oh, okay. So how did it vary?
It was not as realistic. It was, if you watch some of them, you can tell they're like East Coast homes that they're trying to, like, go in through the windows and stuff like that. Yeah. And the outfits were really outlandish, and they really played up, like, the good guy always had the white hat on, and the bad guy always had the black hat. Yeah.
All right, that brings us back to Jackery.
How about, I don't know, it always jumps into my head, good old Bonanza. It wasn't a movie, but...
I just wrote that on my
list.
Did
you really?
Yes, but I love Bonanza.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was, you know, it hasn't been that long that I've realized that Little Joe was...
Michael Landon,
yeah.
You didn't know that?
Nope, had no idea.
Yeah.
Until I was watching it, and I was really paying attention to the credits. Because I was like, that's Admiral Adama from Battlestar Galactica as... The dad, I can't remember his name.
Lauren
Green, that's it, yeah.
There you go.
And then they're like, and Michael Landon, and I'm like, that's what was the show that he was on?
Little House on the Prairie.
not that one. It was later.
Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven. I was like, that's Highway to Heaven. I'm like, are you serious? And then I really sat in there watching him.
You know him better from Highway to Heaven than Little House on the Prairie.
I don't know why.
See, I grew up with
Little House. But then just the one that family never changed clothes.
Yeah, serious. They really did. I love Bonanza, but for like whenever they were doing, you know, shots on set, you know, outside shots that were clearly on set, that always just bugged me. Everything was far too clean, you know, like I've been on farms and stuff like that, and I know it's not that clean unless you just built it. But no, that's still a good show. That's still a really good show. I enjoy that one a lot.
I get to watch it all the time when I go to the in-laws' house. It's usually that's on. That's what's
well,
on.
Lucky
TV.
You.
Yeah.
Watch some Little House on the Prairie. That's some good stuff.
I've tried watching that, and it's. I'd rather watch Bonanza.
I can see that.
Jack comes in. No, I want to watch Little House on the Prairie.
I want to watch Laura Ingle.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That brings us back over to you, Bill.
The next favorite would be, let's see, TV series, I'd say Gunsmoke.
Oh.
Oh. That was.
22 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon, I think, is on the air 22 years. That was a long-standing series.
That sounds really familiar. I feel like I should know that, actually.
I know the name. That's one I know I'd never watched.
Huh.
It was on Monday nights. Gunsmoke is given credit for canceling Gilligan's Island because the president of I think it's NBC, wherever the station was up, they were on, liked Gunsmoke, and it came down to a tie. Do I want to put Gunsmoke or Gilligan's Island on? So he chose Gunsmoke and they canceled Gilligan's Island.
Wow. Well, how long could those people be out there, really? I mean, something was going on. They're still looking this good. How long had it been? Did you see the, there was a Gilligan's Island, like reunion show or something where they actually got rescued and they came back to mainland and they were having a party and celebrating and, like idiots.
They ended up getting stranded back.
They went back out on a boat, and the boat got stranded on the same island. Oh.
Why did I watch this?
Why would you get on a boat ever again?
Really?
I'd be done. That'd be it. That's it. No more boats.
You go back and watch Gunsmoke, you see a lot of budding actors. Burt Reynolds started there.
really?
A lot of older ones finished their career there, too, so.
I love, that's one thing I love about watching old movies and be like, oh my God, there's so-and-so when they were young.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He had a line, or just walked by.
Yeah, really. Then look at him now, starting the whole movie all by himself.
Come a long way, hasn't he? Very good. I guess, you know, I told you I'd just written down Bonanza. The other pick I had was The Rifleman. What was it, Chuck Connor?
Chuck Connor.
Yeah, that was always a fun show. I loved that show. It always had the wholesome aspect. Like, but him and his son had a great relationship, and I don't know. It was just such a good show. Even to this day, watching it, it builds suspense.
Does it?
I think so. I mean, I get into it when there's a Rifleman like marathon on. I'll get into it. I mean, I know he's going to win, but he's the Rifleman.
He has really good storyline. The whole, you know, the father-son, really different for that time period to be showing that.
Did they ever say what happened to the mom? I can't remember.
I think she died of the fever, I believe is what they said.
Okay. That makes sense.
Something like that.
That would make
sense. Yeah, he raises the boy and lives happily ever after. I always want to see him and the teacher, you know, get together. You know, you're always rooting for him and the teacher to start dating, and they just never would.
No, he had too much. What was his deal? Too much honor, I guess. Too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Loved him though. He was good. All right, Randy. He
played for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Is that right?
Yeah. He played before he was an actor.
That's crazy.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow, that's cool as hell. I'm going to have to look into that.
The next one for me, I'd have to say, is the Magnificent Seven, the original one, not the recent remake. So with Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, James Coburn. Yeah. I know I'm missing quite a few on that one, but it was a great movie.
I've never seen that.
It's really
good. You need to. The videography or cinematography is excellent on that one.
Yeah.
Really.
And it always used to, I don't know why, I saw it young enough that I wasn't used to, like, the main characters dying, so a few of them do, I won't spoil it for you. But that just kind of threw me there at the end.
Sure.
So I guess I wasn't used to...
That's how you know you've got a good show or a good movie, you know, when they... You know, can take your expectations. Okay, the main, you know, that's why Breaking Bad was so good.
Right.
Because when main characters start getting knocked off, I'm like, oh shit, nobody's safe here. Nobody's safe. Anybody. So that's good writing. I dig
that. Yeah, it's like Lonesome Dove when Robert Duvall dies.
Yeah,
when Robert Duvall died in Lonesome Dove, and everybody's just, oh, you can't kill off the main character, but they did.
But they did that a lot, though, right, Bill? In westerns, I mean, it seems like most of.
Oh, yeah. If you're a sidekick, your life expectancy wasn't much.
You were a Star Trek red shirt.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Where are we back to? Back to Jack. What we got?
Deadwood on HBO.
Oh, yes.
I've heard that was really good.
It was really good, but there's one thing about it that really just drove me nuts was how vulgar they were. Which,
yeah, I couldn't watch it because of that.
It was probably historically accurate or something, but they were just...
I think they were going for like a record of how many times they could say the F word in an episode.
Seriously, it got to be way too much, but...
Really? Yeah. Just over-the-top swearing.
Kid you not, I think one episode had like 132 uses of the F word.
Oh, yeah. Why?
But then,
yeah, a little bit doesn't bother you, but after a while, it's just like, come on, dudes.
Yeah.
You could edit all that shit out and have like a 13-minute shorter episode.
It almost seems like they built and wrote everything around that trope right there. Let's see how many times we can say the word fuck.
I don't even think that word was invented yet back then.
This is not historically accurate.
That made me think that maybe it was more like that one back then, because maybe a lot of the guys... out in the West weren't really educated.
Oh, no, they weren't.
And then, I mean, usually you can tell that people aren't too smart, maybe, if they do swear a lot, because you can't really think of a lot of good words to
list of adjectives is a little short.
That's it, exactly.
Common so clay of the West.
But that was a pretty good show.
Morons. Okay.
Anytime you can throw a Blazing Saddles reference in there,
it's gotta use them. Gotta use them.
Don't even bring that one up.
No.
Bill's gonna leave this call real quick.
All right, and that brings us back to Bill.
I'm gonna go with The Shootist. John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, both in the same movie. Last appearance.
That was the last appearance of John or Jimmy.
John Wayne. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne's last movie, you know, died very shortly thereafter of cancer, and he's a gunfighter dying of cancer. So it really pinnacles, again, his career. And it was a turn of the century, so they're bringing in a lot of new things like electricity and cars and things like that, but still hanging on to the old. And he wanted to go out with a bang, so he invited all of his old nemesis to one big gunfight so he wouldn't have to die of the cancer.
Wow.
Richard Boone. Let's see, Warren Beatty, I think, was the other one, and a couple of others. But yeah, some big name stars in there that he'd fought in prior movies, and they'd bring movie clips of the old movies back, like a memory reflection. And it was pretty neat. Ron Howard was in it.
No
kidding. He taught Ron Howard. Yep. And so him and Ron became really good friends on the set and off the set too.
That sounds really good. And that's The Shooter, you said?
Shootist.
The Shootist.
Shootist.
Yeah, and that's the only, I believe, the only second movie he did that he died in.
Wow.
Sands of Evil was the first one.
It was horrible how, I had heard how he acquired cancer, John Wayne. They were filming a Western in some, I don't know why it was radioactive, but some, like, place that had radioactivity happening, and they got everyone out of there, and they had to do some reshoots in a studio like in Hollywood or something, and they brought in truckloads of the dirt from out there to rebuild the set. You know, they're bringing in that.
Oh my gosh.
So they were, I think maybe some other people on the set acquired cancer as well. I can't remember.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it was like where they were testing the A-bomb out in the...
Is that where...
That
makes sense. Yeah.
Out in the desert.
Know, when he did the Emmy Award, that last appearance he made, is so thin. They thought they'd be real smart and put him in a scuba wetsuit underneath his suit, trying to give him support. And he nearly died then because he just sweated so much in that wetsuit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And just got off the stage and nearly collapsed. And they had jerked that off of him real fast. but they thought he'd give him support so he could stand up.
Wow.
I mean, at this point, you'd be like, John, you've done enough. Yeah. Just take it easy, dude.
Get some of the pretty women to walk out there with him. You know, hold him up with some pretty women.
I'll take that over crutches any day.
There you go.
All right. I guess that's... I know this started as a John Wayne film. I never saw the original, though. I saw Jeff Bridges' remake, True Grit.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that. I didn't see it.
So good.
Is it?
Oh, my God.
When they said they're remaking True Grit, I thought there's no way. It's two different movies. Same story, but so different.
Yeah.
But the new one is amazing.
And Coen Jeff Brothers. Bridges is amazing. You know, he just does so well in that role.
And he does almost any role he does in.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
They had to learn how to talk in that movie because they could not use conjections. I am there and not I'm not, I'm aren't there or whatever. Contractions. They couldn't use contractions.
Wow. That'd be difficult.
Yeah, it would.
That'd be so hard. And then you learn it to go back.
Right. Yeah. When that guy falls out of a tree, he says, "I do not know this man." That's why, today we'd say, "I don't know him."
Huh. I need to watch it again. It's been so long since I've seen it. I just remember just being at the edge of my seat. Like, this is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, that girl was amazing, too.
Yeah, I can't remember who that was. Do you?
Haley, I'll think about it after we get off the air. But, yeah, that was her first movie. That's her first ever.
Wow,
that's impressive.
Yeah, they said she's so good it taught everybody to their, had to get better.
Yeah, watch that. I've got more of a list to watch than you guys do after this episode, but add that to your watch list.
I know I've got John Wayne to get caught up.
I've seen the original.
Never seen any of his stuff.
I've seen the original True Grit with John Wayne, where the famous scene where he's like twirling around the shotguns as he's riding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found that movie where they filmed that up in Colorado. Walked around, it's just like almost okay. I'm in hallowed ground.
Wow, that would be cool. All right, that brings us over to Randy.
Yes, so I've got a newer one for my next pick. It was a mini series, so it's not technically a movie, but Godless on Netflix. So basically, it is I don't know a lot of the names of the character, like the actors that play them, they're not a lot of really big names, except the villain is Jeff Bridges.
Oh, well, so that's the only name you need, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's so jarring seeing, the Dumb and Dumber guy as this, like, hard-ass, like, pastor.
Oh, you mean Jeff Daniels.
I'm sorry, not Jeff Bridges. Jeff Daniels.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's like Dumb and Dumber.
Sorry, Jeff Daniels. He's almost like a preacher, Mormon preacher type, but
this sounds really familiar.
It's an amazing, like, my wife does not like Westerns at all. And I got her to watch this and she was riveted and it's really? Like 10 episodes or something like that, but it's a really good watch.
I'll have to check it out.
I auditioned for that movie.
Did you really?
Yeah. Didn't make it, but I did.
What part did you audition for?
Extra. Just for the extras.
Okay. Okay.
That's so cool. I want to be an extra. Oh, that's awesome, though. I one last quick one here I think I'm going to mention before we move on, and it's a newer show, is Westworld.
Yes, that was on my
You guys
list
seen that at
I
all?
I have not seen that yet.
I have not seen that.
So what it is essentially, Jack, you can help me set this up because I haven't got too far into it, but what I've seen, I love. It's set in modern times, if not in the future.
More future.
But it's this company that big, like people with, tons of money can pay to enter this West World, which is a totally refabricated Western town and mm-hmm. like countryside and stuff. And, it's like going into an online game, like some of the people you see are real.
Okay.
But the rest of the people are like NPC kind of robot stuff. Yeah. So,
okay.
It was just really cool. These people pay big money and they go into this world that's...
They're allowed to do whatever they want. They could be a bad guy. They could be a nobody. They can
yeah.
do... You can just and go
they
there
can't
and live
die either.
Life.
Like, they can't be killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but the... Like, all the NPCs are robots. The people that... What are they called?
I can't remember.
I think the guests are the people that are there. The hosts, I think they're...
Yeah.
The robots that live there, they can shoot each other and tear each other up, do everything. But yeah, going in as a paid person, you can't get hurt.
And Ed Harris is in that. He plays the bad guy, seemingly the bad guy. Again, I haven't got far enough to see, but he looks like he's up to some malicious stuff. And it's Ed Harris. I mean, he's a good bad guy.
We finished. I watched the first season twice because I started it with Misty, and then she fell off the wagon, and I had to keep going.
Yeah.
And then she came back on, and we watched it again and started the second season, and it's a little... It's so, because you know everything that's going on and what happened, it's weird to pick up and keep going on with what's happening. It's weird in the second season. Yeah.
I don't know how to take that. I'm just going to have to watch it.
We only got maybe three episodes in, so maybe we just got to keep plugging at it.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a third one that just came out.
Right, right. Seemingly so far, it looks like a really cool show.
Yeah, it was really good.
I'd plop that money down, I think. I'd go into a Westworld.
I would love to do that, yeah.
But it looks like it's like going to be a Jurassic Park scenario where, like, all the NPC, like, things become sentient and start killing or something like that. It seems like something's about to go haywire, you know? So maybe I'll wait and see what haywire shit happens before I decide if I want to visit Westworld. But all right. Any other picks we want to mention before we move on?
No, you finished off with my last one. That was going to be the same one.
Westworld?
Too. Yep.
Yeah.
Bill, you have anything to
add? I think you got to have Open Range on there.
Open Range?
Yes, Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall.
Okay, yeah. The one where they take back the town?
Yes, amazing, amazing movie from modern day.
I haven't seen that one.
That was probably, what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Probably 2000, 2002, let's see. I was trying to remember. I met Robert Duvall one time. They just finished filming it, and he called it his trilogy. But, it was great.
Yeah, I remember the end fight scene. Basically, I forget the plot. It's been a minute. But at the very end, those two are trying to take back a town from a group of bandits. And, like, slowly, like, the townspeople start helping them. Right, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, you see, like, they'll start locking the doors, and the bad guys will try and get in, and they're, like, blowing them away through the doors, like the town
hall. Oh, that's sweet.
Kind of like
the Three Amigos. Yeah, nothing like shooting through the
doors. I was just thinking that. I was like, it sounds like the Three Amigos.
El Guapo was coming to take the town over.
A little different.
And a good note to end on, I think. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, man, this sounds a lot like Three Amigos. Oh, but that probably came first, didn't it?
No.
What year did you say? Or no, you said that was like early 2000s.
Yeah, Three Amigos.
Way before.
Copycats. Yeah. All right. Enough jesting. Let's turn our attention over to Bill and talk about his career in acting. Bill, I want to thank you for being here. And I say it all the time. These guys are probably sick of hearing me say it. And I know the listeners got to be, but I love an artist's path into either the acting field or, you know, voice acting or comics or whatever it is we're talking about. And one thing I read about you is that you had wanted to be an actor since you had been in second grade. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. The teacher went around the room asking everybody what they wanted to be when they grew up. And I was going to tell them actor like Elvis Presley, John Wayne, you know, and, the girl next to me said she wanted to be an actress, and all the other kids laughed at her. So I said, I'm not going to say actor. I don't want anybody laughing at me. So I made up something, you know. And we worked with a lot of the students in theater. My son was a theater major, so, you know, we did the stage side of it a lot. But, back in the old VHS days and DVDs, first thing I'd watch was how the movie was made and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I was just always intrigued on how movies were made.
It's interesting as all hell. It's another benefit to doing this show, talking to the people and, you know, talking about the behind the scenes stuff. Love that stuff. Mm-hmm. Adore it. So,
yes, a lot goes on back there.
Yeah, a lot of people. And so, again, this has been a dream of yours since you were in second grade, but it wasn't until about 2017 that you finally started to go after that dream. So, I know you were a school principal, a superintendent for years, right? You mm-hmm. retired from that profession?
Yes, sir. I retired in January 2016. So I can say I acted all my life because I acted like I liked my job. But now it's just I'd spent 33 years in education and figured I'd tortured everybody long enough and it's time to get out and do something different. And sure enough, I sure did do something different.
Yeah, I would say so. And it'd be cool to be one of those students to then see your principal. if I saw any of my principals or superintendents in a film, I'd be like, what? What's happening?
Who's my principal? I couldn't stand
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I bet you probably do. So let me ask you then, from second grade up until 2016, has acting just been like a tick on the back of your neck, like something that's always there, something you always think about, or is it just something that kind of came back to, you know, the surface after retirement?
I think it came back, you know, writing kind of kicked off earlier than that. And I've always loved writing, and I wrote a lot at night, you know, when I was still working in education. But yeah, it came back. You know, I was sitting there and I was looking on Facebook one night in 2016 and saw where they were having the open casting call for The Son. I thought, well, why not? You know, I'm retired. I'll go down there and stood in line with 1,500 other people in Austin, Texas. And lo and behold, I thought I'd just be really lucky if I could be chosen to walk down the street one day. And I was picked to be a featured recurring character extra, which means you're right there beside the stars, you know, Pierce Brosnan, James Parks, and us right there side by side working. You just didn't have any lines, and was in 5 episodes of The Son, and that's what got it all started.
That's incredible. And, you know, kind of like we were talking with Help Me, last week's guest, Derek K. Long.
Yes.
You know, he's fairly new in the acting gig himself, and we were talking with him about a lot of actors sometimes have to do a lot of projects they don't want to do, or, you know, just have to really get their time in before they're working alongside someone like James Bond. You know what I mean? So for that being your first job, you know, having the acting bug most of your life and then your first job, you're standing next to Pierce Brosnan. What was that like, man?
Amazing. You know,
yeah.
When you first get on set and you see the guy and the other people that, you know, James Parks and the others, you are really taken back. And then you realize, hey, they're people just like you and me, and they've got a job to do. And Pierce would come over and talk to us every once in a while. And you know, how's it going, guys? You're doing a good job. In fact, after one scene, he shook my hand and said, good job, chap. And so I wish I could have that frame, you know, somewhere. You know, that was just an amazing run. It's probably still one of my favorite runs because I'm so new and get to just jump in there with Pierce Brosnan and James Parks. And I played a really bad guy. In fact, as soon as I found out my role, I called my wife. I said, you're not going to like my role at all. So I had a friend. I finally told him just quit watching the show because he kept saying, I can't believe the way you're treating people. And I said, it's a movie. And I said, I didn't write it. And he just kept saying this, that. And I said, change the channel. Just quit watching it. You know, I'm not really that bad. And then, you know, I always feel like the looks kind of, you want to look everything old west. So, you know, I always have a cigar or something like that in my hand. And people, I didn't know you smoked. I don't. Oh, yeah, we saw you on TV. You're smoking. I don't. But just fake it real well. You know?
It's so weird. And people have trouble separating the actor or actress from the role. You know, it reminds me of a story I heard. You guys remember the Wonder Years? Mm-hmm. Remember his brother that was always bullying him? I can't remember. Was it Wayne?
Wayne, yeah.
That dude in real life was always getting treated like shit. I think he was even accosted a few times in a bar by
because
people.
Because he was such a punk.
Because he was that bully older brother that so many people had. And he's like, yo, I'm a nice guy, you know? That's not really me.
Like Bruce Dern, you know, he kills John Wayne in the Cowboys, and then he can't find work because nobody likes him anymore. He killed John Wayne in the height of John Wayne's career, you know?
Oh, wow. And
he had a hard time finding work after that because couldn't separate the two.
So, Bill, after playing, like, a real bad character, how bad did you want to go back and walk through the halls of your school being like, told you, don't mess with me.
Go back to high school with my that old West outfit and, look at me, bad. Get away from me. You know, all them bullies that picked on me when I was smaller than everybody else. Yeah, look at me now. I'm 6'5" now. I've kind of grown since the days they picked on me.
Wow, 6'5". Jeez. Wow.
You taller than
they thought I was tall. You dwarf me.
I saw a classmate here a while back, and he was always whooping up on me. And he didn't come about my chest. So I started to say, let's meet up back. I want to repay you for a few things. No, I didn't.
Got some stuff to settle.
It's about time.
Yeah, that's right. Then I got to do Alita Battle Angel with Christoph Waltz, and then Ballad of Buster Scruggs with Coen Brothers. You know, there's the three of the biggest I've done. Did a lot of independents along the way to get to that point, but I did. Those are my three biggest that I'm really pleased with. And then, of course, Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes, yes. Now, looking at your IMDb, you know, it seems obviously there's a lot of like Western movies, TV roles and stuff. Now, are those particular roles you're going after, or do they just see Bill Foster and they're like, oh, this guy's going to be good in our Western?
That's a lot of it. You know, fit the mold, fit the look. And so I get picked a lot for those because of the look. You know, if you ever go to acting school, they'll tell you right up front the first day, 90% of the roles is decided on your looks, if you look the part, and then 10% on your acting skills. And so,
really,
you know, and you know, I can't apply for a 25-year-old man. You know, it's not going to happen.
Right,
but
right.
Being a gray beard, I can get that rustic old-looking cowboy that's come off the herd, dusty, dirty, and ready to go drink some whiskey.
I wonder what I would be cast as.
I'd be like pumping gas or something. I don't know what my life I'd be cast.
Jack Doherty is El Guapo.
Three Amigos.
I want to say stuff like dashing good looks, but I think it's the other end of the spectrum.
So one other thing I read online was that, and again, what I had read looked like it was written in like 2018, but then you had been working on a script for stage called Window Home.
Windows Home, yes, Windows Home.
Yeah, are you able to tell us all about that?
You bet. They actually performed it in Brownwood at a community theater, and they performed it 9 times and had nine standing ovations. Wow. And it's a split screen on stage, if that makes sense. There's two things going on at once. You know, of course, one side of the stage will darken while the other lights up. But it's about this young couple in the 60s, and I love period pieces. But they fall in love, and doggone it, as soon as they get married, he gets drafted in the Marines, and they ship him off to Vietnam. So The first part of the play is about that transition, you know, having to come in and tell his wife he just got drafted and he's going to the boot camp. And then he comes home, everybody's excited to see him, then he tells him he's got to go to Vietnam. And then his luck, as soon as he gets there, he gets captured by the North Vietnamese and put in a POW camp. And so they made this promise, him and his wife, that they would write letters every day. Well, he can't write letters in the POW camp, so he goes to his window that he can see out of, and he talks to her, and she looks out her kitchen window, and they look at each other, and just so happens, you know, it's 20,000 miles apart, but on stage, they're actually looking at each other through the two windows, and that's why I came up with Windows Home. And so she would talk to him, and he would talk to her 20,000 miles apart, like you would if you're gone somewhere and you want to talk to your wife. You just, you know, lay in their bed, look at the moon or whatever, you know.
Sure.
And so it kind of tied them together. She wanted to face the west, and so she had her bed brought in from her bedroom, put in the kitchen, so she could have a west window. And so she felt like if she could look out west, she could see him, almost see him, and just wait for him to come home. And I tried to also really show how not only is a soldier at war fighting, but everybody at home fights too. You know, not having the husband there and the lonely times and everything that was going on during Vietnam, and, you know, tried to bring a lot of that in there. And so when the director, she directed it, did an amazing job. The music, you got to have that 60s rock and roll music in there, and she did an amazing job putting that in there. In fact, had a lot of requests for soundtrack, you know.
Oh, man, there you go.
Nice.
Had some great actors and actresses, and hated seeing it coming in, really. And so hopefully that'll be picked up someday and taken on to another. And we just finished I've Got Your Six while we're on the military side of it. It's a modern-day Western, but every person in the movie that's in front of the camera is a veteran, military veteran.
Oh, wow.
So I used all military veterans and stories about an old World War II veteran. He's 93 years old, and he's in a nursing home, and he gets a newspaper one day, and he sees that his old farm fixed to be turned into a shopping center, and they made the comment it was a worthless piece of land, and so he wants to go see his farm one last time before it's a shopping center. He escapes from the nursing home and goes out to his farm, and a deputy that finds him is actually an Iraq war veteran, but that's the way I wrote it, is an Iraq war veteran, and so they bond right there, and the captain is not a veteran, and so he's just saying, bring the old man in, you know, put him back in the nursing home. And the deputy's like, nope, you can have my badge. You can do whatever you want to. I'm not coming in. And I don't know about there, but in small town Texas, everybody's got a scanner, seems like, and they all listen to the police broadcast and knows what their neighbor's getting arrested for and everything. And all these veterans hear this argument going on in the radio on the scanner. And so all of a sudden, all the veterans in town just drop everything they're doing and go out and help protect the old man from anybody. Don't let him stay out there as long as he wants. And really turned out well. I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Evans, a jazz pianist back in the 60s and 70s.
I know
he won 18 Emmys, I believe he won. His son, Evan, is my music composer, and he's just doing an amazing job on that. You know, it just makes the movie so much better.
That's crazy.
And that's a short movie. It's like 18 and a half minutes or so, which you think a short movie would be easier to make than a feature. In a way, it is. You know, we're done filming in 2 days, but you got to cram so much in there in 2 days.
Right.
And you got to be able to tell the story without really, you know, another 30 minutes of telling the story. Yeah. And so that was fiction. In fact, it made the finals at the Wild Bunch Film Festival out in Arizona right now. And in that movie, we were nominated for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Music, and Best Songwriting, Best Short Movie, and then Best Director.
That is absolutely amazing.
Since we got our fingers crossed, maybe we might bring one award home anyway.
Wow, that is awesome, man. Again, only since 2017. Mm-hmm. And look at all this. Oh, my God. So jealous. That's awesome, man.
Now, Bill, if somebody wanted to see that later on, where would they go to find that?
Right now, our lawyers are pitching it to distribution because there's with COVID, usually they don't buy shorts, but mm-hmm. there's not that much out there for them to buy right now, new material. So there's a possibility that might be put on streaming devices. And so we're kind of waiting on that and waiting to hear back from the lawyers on there because they're pitching our feature Western also at the same time. So as soon as we find out, we'll let you know and get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I do too. Awesome.
I was hanging on his every word. I forgot we were doing an interview. I was just sitting there.
The two actors that were nominated, they just did a phenomenal job. And you know, we had a counselor on set in case any of the military veterans had trouble. And sure enough, she had to check on a few of them. But some of them came to me and told me that they really had a hard time because once they got out of the military, they went back to their family and went on about their work. And all of a sudden now they're around 80 veterans. And it really brought back a lot of memories for them. And so they were having to kind of really suck it up to be able to keep going. That, you know, the one is easy to turn around and leave. But the basis of the movie is even, no matter how low you feel or alone or whatever, there's always a group of veterans that will stand behind you, whether you know they're back there or not. And so that hence the title, I've Got Your Six.
That is nice. Really freaking cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting a cool story, but also, you know, there's a good message even aside from
that. Yeah.
The one in the movie. That's awesome, man. Amazing. I was going to ask you next about future endeavors, but I think you just answered that, unless you have any other irons in on the fire.
Well, we're wrapping up. We finally got cleared to film the last 3 days of our feature Western Showdown on the Brazos, and you can look at our award-winning trailer on YouTube on that. But we'll finish it up September 11th through the 13th, and then hopefully have it, as they say, in the can quickly thereafter. We thought we were through, and when we went back and put it together, we just felt like there's some areas that we need to improve on, and so I went back and wrote some more scenes, and so that's what we're filming. We had 3 weekends scheduled to film. We got 2 of them filmed, and COVID hit, shut us down, and now we finally got cleared to shoot these other 3 days' worth, and so get that done. And then next spring, hopefully, we'll kick off we're in pre-production right now. It's called I Heard the Quail Whistle. It's another Western. But this has got a little twist to it that the woman is a hero in it rather than the old John Wayne guy. So it's got a little different angle to it.
That all sounds amazing.
And hopefully,
man,
we get some of that in New Mexico. That's my goal right now. And, you know, have an A-lister for the female and an A-lister for the old marshal that they're trying to get him to retire and he refuses to. So Jeff Bridges would be amazing in that spot. About him earlier, Robert Duvall, you know, something like that, that, you know, oh, you're old, you know, you need to hang up your spurs and go home, and they refuse to, and he comes along and helps this lady out. And so she, in a nutshell, she goes from victim to vigilante, and she's got to go through a lot of process to get there. But, you know, the women back then were so strong, but yet couldn't be heard.
Right.
Because,
yeah,
you know, they couldn't even vote. They were just part of the family, but they also, you know, they held the family together, and the husband rule was an iron fist, but they were so strong to be able to keep everything, the family together. You know, husband's working the fields. She was back there taking care of kids, feeding the hogs, milking the cows, and then go out and work in the field and come back and do it all over again. I tried to really show that when I wrote that story.
I cannot wait to see that.
Thank you.
You said that's currently in production or?
Pre-production. And we're going to try to film that next year.
Okay. You have to let us know.
Yeah, well, we'd love to get you back on to hear more about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait.
Well, one last question for you. You know, I always like to ask people in your position, I guess, for advice to give to somebody, you know, who's just kind of starting where you were in like 2015 or 16, you know, somebody who wants to get into acting but doesn't know where to begin.
I read an article, and I've lived by this article. It says, if you want to do that, you take every job that you're willing to do. You know, don't get out of your bubble. You know, when we talk about things like that, we only mention that side of the film industry. But some people get suckered into it, of course. Mm-hmm. But take everything you can get. You're not going to get lines right away. You got to serve your time. But you may just only get a bag of potato chips. You may not even get that. You know, I've been on some independents. They said, okay, lunch break. You went and got your own lunch. You drove yourself down there. You paid for your own hotel or however you stayed. I've camped out. I've stayed in trailers, you know, everywhere I can. But if that's what you want to do. And then all of a sudden your resume starts getting bigger. And, you know, I was real fortunate on the Sun, and then it really stemmed into those others. You just got to keep plugging along. And like I said, eventually you do start making a little bit of money as extra. And if you want to have a lot, some extras don't ever want to be anything but extras. And that's great. If you're a good extra, try watching a movie with no extras, you know, or watching a movie with bad extras. Watch a movie with bad extras, even worse. But, but then there's extras that's trying to get over into the other side with lines. And that will come. You just got to take your acting classes. You keep trugging away and doing that, and it'll eventually happen. And, you know, and then, of course, I crossed over to the director side, which I love. It's probably 60-40, 70-30 with directing, because if you're an actor, you create that one part of the puzzle or one part of the picture. As a director, you create the whole picture. And so it gives you a little more creativity, and that's where we've got our Quail Whistle Productions, and we're trying to do that. And so, you know, I won't ever do another where I'm directing, acting, and producing all three.
I can see that being challenging.
Another project start out with four or five actors, you know, and we're just going to do a little trailer and call it quits. And then all of a sudden it took hold, and we've got over 250, fixed to be 300 actors. And a full crew, and the budget went out the window a long time ago, you know, because I'm not going to do this stuff right. And I've mortgaged off all my grandkids and my kids and three dogs.
It's almost a country song.
I haven't mortgaged her off yet, so.
Well, very good.
Just hang in there. You got to keep after it.
That's good.
And if you're aspiring, I was going to tell you this, if you're an aspiring director or something, like, write you a little script, it doesn't have to be fancy, and get your iPhone and get some friends and put it together in the backyard or wherever. And you get the general gist of it, and you can build from that. And so, you know, anybody in junior high and high school, they can go out there and do that if they're interested in it. And, you know, just keep trying, plugging away. I don't know how many people from the Showdown have launched film careers trying to make movies on their own now. So it's amazing. Yeah. I can count four off the top of my head that's actually went on to trying to make movies and making a few shorts and things like that, that got in there and gave them the confidence that they could do it and took off. Either that or it looks easy. When I did it, they thought it'd be easy and found out it's not quite as easy as it looked.
Isn't that always the way? And everybody has a really nice camera in their pocket now. So, everyone's got the capability to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Microphone built in.
Yep. Exactly. Well, that's great advice. And, Bill, where should we be directing people? I know you have a profile on IMDb. Where else should people be checking you out?
Go to Facebook, just under me. We're building a webpage, but it's just been happening so fast we hadn't got there yet.
But just Bill Foster on Facebook. I'm very noticeable. Black Hat is one of the pictures out of my showdown. We've also got a showdown on the Brazos page on Facebook. I would say just go to that and STEM, because that's where we put, like I just posted this morning, we were needing some young actors and actresses. So I've been running 90 miles an hour today, me and my wife, trying to get all these new applications in, costumes, trying to find things like that. And so on top of scheduling the whole day. So just check out my Facebook page. We keep everything pretty well updated on that. And when we ever get a web page, we'll sure get that word out too.
And yeah, just let us know. We'll post that on with this episode's post when it happens. Well,
thank
Let's
you.
Let's take a trip to Texas.
Hey, there I you am go. Always You're down. Always welcome. I would love to go to Texas.
Come on down here and to my vineyard. I'll have some wine next year. We harvested this year, so we'll have a little wine to drink. There but you know, it takes a lot of beer to make wine, so.
Now that sounds like there worth going to Texas
yeah.
for.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us, man.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, me too. It's been a good episode. Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com, where you can check out show highlights, info, guest info.
Here we go.
You're messing me up now. Go to cannedairpodcast.com where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, become a patron, buy some merch, see some of our YouTube videos, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
Look at you, got it out like butter that time, didn't you? Twitter, cannedairpod, Instagram, canned_air, patreon.com/cannedairpod. I'm trying to mix it up. I always say the same robotic things that I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. What else am I forgetting?
Check us out every Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. on RedlineRadioLLC.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, check Jack and I out every 9 p.m. Tuesdays.
Win some stuff.
Win there some it is. Prizes.
Can their moich. It's flowing. It's a flowing. It's coming in, isn't it? All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Bill Foster.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and be excellent to each other.
Puppy. Oh no!
Don't run, it'll only make things worse.
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up.
Hey!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Man, I kind of want to pull Walker in here to this conversation.
You give me credit.
This has been a Canned Air production.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.